Mike Schrant.
Max Winkle and Gary Strider obviously having birthdays today, but a little birdie told me that they also share their wife with two other local folks.
Say that again.
Two other local folks.
They share their what?
Their birthday.
Okay. So I thought you said share their wife.
No, I said birthday.
No, you didn't.
I didn't?
No, you said share their
well,
wife.
Well, erase that.
Okay, that doesn't sound good at all.
No.
Okay. I want to clear that up so nobody...
Absolutely. Birthday.
Thank you. Okay.
Birthday. Okay. Yeah, this is a clean show, folks.
I'm going to say I'm worried right now.
All right, anyway.
That blast from the past years ago, and oddly enough, they just had their birthday, I think, yesterday or the day before. Max Winkle, Gary Stratton, Steve Zachary, all born on the same day in the same hospital. And oddly enough, Mike Schrant, our former news director, is here with us shortly after their birthday. So it's more than appropriate to play that cut today.
I'm an old history teacher, so we have to celebrate it in historical context.
Yes, we do. And it was funny because I went to the flub folder, and there's Mike. I'm like, which one? Oh, yeah, the Share the Wives one. That's a good one. That's a good one I can use. There are a few others that we can't play, and there's a few others that we both have as well, Chad and myself and Dusty. But Mike Schrant is here, along with Todd Britton. And Todd, what a trooper this guy is to ride all the way up with Mike today. Todd Britton is a public information officer for the Ellsworth Correctional Facility. And Mike is the activities specialist. Todd, is that what kind of activities does he work on? Snoring? What? Napping? What kind of activities is this guy in charge of?
He does have those activities well prepared. he's developed that.
He developed that a long time ago.
I'm dropping you off in Hunter on the way home.
That might be exactly what he wants.
You used to go there when I was a kid.
He'll meet some people that he hadn't seen in a while. Yeah. All right, so Mike, tell us why you're here, other than bringing donuts, which, by the way, well done.
Well, I can't believe you guys have dropped that tradition.
Yeah, we've lost about 10 pounds apiece. We were told by the doctors the last appointment we're the healthiest we've ever been. So those were tough years when Mike was here. Oh, my.
Oh, yeah.
But why are you here? You're here to talk about an event that you just had and talk about maybe a future event, right?
Yeah, we are, well, I'm besides the guy who gets to be there for the softball games and the soccer games and basketball games in the winter and all the activities that we put on at the Ellsworth Correctional Facility, I get to work with our JCs, and that is a very rewarding program. I don't think a lot of people understand that the programs that we have in our facility, and the JCs do lots and lots of great things, but they're also set up to help these folks prepare themselves to not be in prison anymore too, and they do a lot of good work, and one of those things is to raise money, and their charter makes it necessary for them. They can have so much money on hand for their business during the year, but everything else is donated to charity. And over the years, and I think because Todd's been there almost as many years as you are around, mm-hmm. so he can probably document that a lot better than me. But I it just blows me away the things that these guys do to say, you know, we care about other people and we want to make a difference, and they do. The charity basketball game that was just played, and it was, I mean, that gym rocked. The concrete walls, you can imagine the sound in there. I can't hear hardly anything anyway, but mm-hmm. but that night, that we blew the roof off of that place. $3,000 they raised for the Ellsworth High School athletic department. And you know, with schools, you know, being in a pinch with money for all kinds of extra things and stuff, that does make a difference. So, Todd's been around a lot longer than me, and he could probably explain what the JCs do a little bit better than I can. I know I sent you a list of the things that they do, but he's there at the banquets and things when they present the checks and so on. But so I kind of like to toss it over to Todd, let him tell you a little bit about what the JCs do.
You say he's around, you've been around longer than him. How old are you? Todd.
Older than him.
Are you really? You look a lot better than him.
Well, I wasn't really.
You look younger.
Yes. We are.
Todd's aged a lot the last. When did you start, Mike?
We're contemporaries.
Okay, sure, that sounds good. Well, so he's handed off to you, and you need to take advantage of this opportunity. You really do, Todd.
Right. And don't pass the baton.
Don't pass it back to him.
No, the JCs have been a charter with the correctional facility pretty much since the prison first started. Prison's been in Ellsworth since 1988, and that was one of the first organizations that started. And I think it was in early 89 or 90 when they actually started the JCs chapter. Kansas used to have a lot of JCs groups in the public, and over the years they've just... due to lack of interest and everybody's involved in so many things, a lot of fraternal organizations have died. JCs is an organization, especially within the correctional environment, that gives these guys a way to do things in a systematic manner so that when they start, they have an idea, they know how to go through and different steps to present it, to put it together, and then actually work the whole project. So it's a process for them. So through this, it gives them that direction to do what they want to do, but it also gives them the avenue in our environment, in a prison environment, to give them permission to do things, because we just don't let them go out and do stuff for fun. Which doesn't sound right, but we just don't let them run around and do whatever. So everything that they're allowed to do is under some type of supervision from staff. And in order to do things, we have them put their projects together, run it through their supervisors, and then they can come up with a different idea. So this was something brand new to do a competitive basketball game.
The JCs meet a need in the prison, and you know I taught in school for a long time, and we saw lots of need, you know, with kids and so on, and that was, you know, a passion, you know, to work with that. There are a lot of people in there. There's a lot of need there. People who are trying to do the right thing and get on the right course. I mean, the one story that I will remember, you know, long past when I leave there, I was sitting at a softball game last summer, and we got the games going, and the scorekeeper, one of our staff members, we have about, I think we have 17 or 18 guys in our staff with Jim Mignard, and he's sitting beside me keeping score, and there was a young man who was playing second base. I can't even remember what goofy thing that he did when the ball was hit to him, and he got the ball back during that same play, I think with the bases loaded, and did something even stranger. And I turned to my scorekeeper and I said, "Man, that kid acts like he never played ball with his dad." And there was an older black gentleman who was sitting behind me in the bleachers, and he tapped me on the shoulder and he said, "Hey, coach, that guy probably didn't have a dad, or he probably had too many."
Right.
And you know how hard it is to shut me up.
Yeah.
That shut me up.
Mm-hmm.
So what the JCs do, and they have a myriad of programs, and I know I sent you a list of those things, and it's way, way too long to go into, but those guys do a great job trying to help meet that need that's there.
Mm-hmm.
They have myriad of programs, and they do a great, and they teach those themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That is, the state of Kansas doesn't pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
They do that themselves, mm-hmm. and that's probably the one thing that, you know, even with my bad feet, that keeps mm-hmm. me there.
Todd Britton and Mike Schrant from the Ellsworth Correctional Facility, our guests today on Community Matters, brought to you by the First National Bank of Beloit Mitchell County Hospital Health System. So you had this event, raised $3,000, and I know the release that Mike sent to me, they were expecting to raise you guys about $2,000, so you exceeded that, which is terrific. So what does that money go towards?
Well, this donation went entirely to the Ellsworth High School.
It went completely to the Ellsworth High School.
Just for them to use for athletics.
Okay.
A little over a year ago, the JCs raised money specifically for them to help with band uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
They did a donation this year for a splash pad that the city is trying to put together.
Okay.
They raised, what was it, $5,000 for that.
Something like that.
So, you know, you think about, you know, the city's trying to do different things and it's on its own. The JCs and the offenders in the prison are going together even though they will not directly be utilizing any of the things that they're helping with, they're helping the community. Mm-hmm. And they, in turn, it's their way of trying to give back. We have a lot of guys that for their whole life have taken away, and now they're figuring out a way to just give back. And that's a part of them being able to learn a little bit about compassion, things like that. So mm-hmm. the giving back part, there's different ways they can do it. Some of the guys, it's just by buying a $5 ticket to go watch the game, mm-hmm. Which doesn't sound like much, but you figure the guys that paid $5 to go watch the game make maybe $20 a month. Mm-hmm. So that's a fourth of their monthly salary they spent to go watch the game. And you say, okay, they're in prison. They don't have any expenses. Well, if you don't like the food, and I don't like to be rude about it, but Aramark that, you know, does the food at the prison is a profit company like anybody. Sure. So they make, you know, they meet the contract and they do fairly good job. But it's not home cooking, mm-hmm. and it's doesn't have all the spice that you'd like because they're cooking for 900 guys. So one of the things that the JCs do is they have different fundraisers selling food. Food is something the guys always like. Well, if you want to buy some food, if you want shampoo, the state doesn't give you shampoo as a basic hygiene item. If you want deodorant, if you don't like I said, the food, and you want coffee and Little Debbie so you don't have to go eat breakfast at 5:30 in the morning or whatever, that comes out of your $20. Because most of these guys don't have family or friends that are going to send them money. Hmm. They burned a lot of bridges in their past. So now they're trying to figure out, okay, I'm only getting $20. What am I going to spend it on? And spend $5 of that to go watch a basketball game. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
yeah. No question. Now you guys have talked about having another event. Is that right?
Yeah,
you were telling
we'll have another event. And we may even do this one. The guys that were involved with this are talking about potentially doing this on an annual mm-hmm. basis. And we do have two manufacturing plants that are on campus there. Mm-hmm. And so guys up in what are they called? Building three.
Industrial yard.
Yeah, the industrial yard. They actually do make a somewhat of a salary, mm-hmm. but I you know, when Molly and Great Plains did a great job, and they kind of bid against each other mm-hmm. in this thing, and that's why the money, you know, really really propped up like that. So the two companies, they were super to work with, mm-hmm. and brought folks in to watch it, and I know that meant a lot to the guys who were playing and to the guys that were there, because we had outside people come in and participate. The next big event that we're talking about, and right now we're in the I guess flesh it out stages, mm-hmm. is probably in July next year. They're talking about giving one of the area law enforcement's units, we think we might be able to raise as much as $10,000 to help law enforcement with the body cameras and things. We're still working on the proposal. We're working on vendors to see what we can bring into the prison in terms of the food, that because that's how the JCs make mm-hmm. their money, is by bringing food in, and then we distribute it, and then what's left they put into the pot. But we're in, I would say by probably October we ought to have that proposal all put mm-hmm. together, and administration will look at it, and then we'll go that way. But that's kind of the game plan for next year, is to have a check for a local law enforcement agency to mm-hmm. get somewhere in the neighborhood of $10,000. And if schools are hurting for money, you know what law enforcement is hurting for right now, right. too.
One thing before we let you go, because I try to think of what, when people are listening to us on the radio, sometimes what they might be thinking. And I think when you mentioned 900 prisoners, mm-hmm. okay, I think the question many people would have, because it popped in my head as well, what's the range of offenses that they're in there for?
All the offenders that we have are in for a felony conviction.
Okay.
We, in our system, rarely have anybody that's in for singing loud in church or jaywalking. What we have,
thankful for that.
I'd be right next
yeah,
to him.
Yeah, you would.
So, you know, these guys have made very horrible choices in their life. Mm-hmm. Does not necessarily mean that they're bad people. They're somebody's son, they're somebody's brother, they're sure. somebody's father. They are paying their toll to society per what the courts have directed. We have, out of our 900 guys, last I saw was about 125 or 30 that have over 20 years to serve yet on their sentence. Mm-hmm. Eight of those are life with no parole. They will never get out. That is their life forever. Mm-hmm. So they have committed made horrible choices and committed horrible crimes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean they're a bad person. Everybody should be afforded a second or, in some cases, third or fourth chance to change. Everybody does change with time. Sometimes the 18-year-old kid, you know, grows up, mm-hmm. or 21 or 25 or 35 or 55. But it's one of those, eventually somebody looks at things and says, okay, you know, I've screwed this up bad enough. What do I need to do to make it better? Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of different things where the guys can do different things to try to give back. So the JCs is one avenue. We have through our Spiritual Life Center. We train service dogs in the within the prison that go out to needy people. And they're not pets. They're all we do are service dogs. It's through CARES Incorporated out of Concordia. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of different things if guys want to be better. Barton Community College offers college coursework in there. We have a lot of things through our chapels and spiritual ends of different self-help programs. The JCs have a lot of programs. So if you're wanting to change, there's opportunities. And with that change, people want to do something to try to give back. So we have guys that sew afghans that are sold, and the proceeds go to different activities and things like this. Mm-hmm. So there's always something going on within the prison where guys are doing something. Some of it's positive, some of it isn't always that positive. Right. But there's always something going on.
Are you, because we've heard this over the last few years specifically, is that there's overcrowding of prisons, correctional facilities. Are you guys at maximum capacity, or where are you sitting there?
The state's pretty much at full capacity. Mm-hmm. They're in the process right now of redoing the Lansing Correctional Facility. The old unit that they have left now, they've turned into a museum. It was built during Abraham Lincoln's presidential administration. Wow. In the 1860s. It was quite antiquated.
That's when Trent was born.
Yeah. Right.
He covered that.
Which means when
I knew this was going too well.
It was too easy. Yeah. It was too easy. I'm sorry. I tried to resist. I couldn't do it.
So they're building a new facility up there, which in turn will be safer for the offenders and safer for staff and more energy efficient. You know, it'll be a better situation than what they had. And in so doing, during this time frame, we've had to move offenders around to different places. And that's been a lot of what has happened. When you take people and you move them to different places, they're not real happy. And these are people, in a lot of cases, aren't happy anyway. Mm-hmm. And so over the last year and a half or 2 years, you've heard about a lot of issues at some of our facilities. There's been some staffing issues. But if you look at the trends within the country and the state of Kansas, unemployment is at record lows. Mm-hmm. And you can't find people that are willing to work. And ours isn't the most glamorous business, and it does take special skills and attributes for people to work in this environment where you're working with this kind of a population. It's kind of like working with in a school. Not something I would do, but I've been in prison for 30 years. I'm not sure which is worse. But it is.
Depends on the day.
It is, but it's the nature of the beast. But it's one of those, you know, every business has its challenges. Right now, mm-hmm. Staffing is one of ours. But we do have some really good staff. We have some good opportunities. There's some good benefits that go with working in the system. So like I said, there's, good and bad. Depends on what you're looking for out of a career.
Before I let you go, I'm curious, because I'm sure there's probably quite a few of these, but can you share a real brief success story of someone that was at the correctional facility that then served their time and now doing really good things or whatever it might be? I'm sure there's plenty of them.
It's a long, long list.
Which is great.
We have, a lot of these stories, you hear of, kids making a stupid choice. I know we've had one individual, he was roughly 16 when he committed his crime, came to the prison, and basically as a kid. And, after serving, 30, 40 years in prison, during that time, learned a vocational skill and once released, working and doing well. Our business is not one that we see a lot of success in, because our successes are on the street. Mm-hmm. And unless I run into somebody at the mall or something like that, I normally don't run into the offenders. The ones that we always see are the ones that don't make it and come back.
Right.
So ours is a really glaring when, oh, gee, this guy just left last year or last week or whatever, and now he's back again. But you don't see the others. So you don't know if they're a success or if they're dead or if they're in a different state system or whatever. So ours is a really, really hard business to figure out. But the successes are out there. 98% of the population in the state of Kansas or nationwide are released from prisons. 98% at some point. So out of every 100 individuals, right now we have roughly 10,000, incarcerated in Kansas. 98% of those are going to get out at some point, whether it's today, tomorrow, next week, next year, 50 years from now. They will be released. Our job is to try to make them a better citizen. You can lead the horse to water. They have to want to make their own change. And we see that through the different programs that the JCs and different opportunities they have. With time, they're tired of beating their head on the wall and coming up with the same thing and a loss. So when these guys have these small little successes, it's so important for them to share it with their family, getting their GED. Passing a vocational class of some kind, learning to weld, whatever it may be, these guys are so proud of those little victories because they've had so few in their life.
Yeah,
so absolutely. That's the successes right there, you see.
Anything to add before we let you guys go?
Yeah, and just kind of what Todd was saying, with that basketball game the other night, we turned our little gymnasium into a real gymnasium. We brought the chairs in, and the guys put posters up on the walls, and our guys repainted almost literally that whole gym, and put inspiring things on the wall like honor and sportsmanship and so on, you know, in preparation for that. And I say we had folks from the prison who came and watched that. We had some of those and we have good support from that. I mean, Warden has been really good. Warden Sowers, he couldn't make it for that because he had another meeting, but he sent a message, and we told the guys, you know, that he was thinking about, you know, that as he kept. But the thing that impressed me the most about it was, as some of the guys came in and they sat down and they said, "Coach, this is not even like being in prison. It looks like a different place."
Yeah.
And the one thing that they remind me of is I go home every night.
Yeah.
They don't.
Correct.
And so I get to walk away from that. And so just to have a little piece of what we get to see out here in the real world is a big, big deal for those guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Normalcy is a hard thing to come by in there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. Well, I'll end with this, just to put something funny at the end of it.
Okay.
And that is,
I can't wait.
Chad knows this story. So when did you start at the correctional facility as activity specialist, doing the exercise and yoga classes?
it's probably been
a year
ago in May, in March.
Okay. So anyway, I don't know.
Or
if
no,
you know
year
this.
A year.
Okay.
Last year in March.
Close enough. Okay. So Todd, I got to share this story for you. So anyway, this person, the lady, calls from the correctional facility, asking about Mike. It was a couple of questions, nothing too extravagant, and I'm like, huh, that's interesting. I guess Mike's applying for a job at the correctional facility. Next day, we're on the show. We're on the air, and Mike knows we're on the air, but maybe forgot. He's getting older, and so he called like five times during the show. Like, dude, I'm on the air. I can't answer the phone. So eventually, I had time, and I called him back about 11 o'clock that morning. And before I really got going, you probably know how this works, Todd. Mike goes, "Hey, I got to ask you a favor. I just said done." And Mike's like, "Come again? What? What?" I stopped him. He's like, "I go done." It's like, "What do you mean done?" I said, "They already called one to reference yesterday. I gave you a glowing one." "Well, wait, if there's anything I can do for you, you just let me know." And you know what I said? "If I ever enter the correction facility, break me out. That's the favor you can do to me."
Love it. And you and I probably would both be in there.
Yes, could be. Which would be really
interesting.
That would be quite the
You know,
sentence.
You'd end up as roommates.
Oh, my. I think we'd both get earplugs. We'd both invest in earplugs. We'd spend the $20 a month just on that. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, my. That would be cruel and unusual punishment. It really would.
For everyone involved.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Other people in the correction facility would be like, glad I'm not rooming with Shreen or Gershner. Yeah, exactly. What are they in for? Eh, doesn't matter. Don't want to be with those guys. Oh, my. Well, Todd Britton, he's the public information officer for the Ellsworth Correctional Facility, and Mike Shreen, activities specialist at the correctional facility. Guys, thanks for coming in. Had a good time talking about it and learn a lot more about the correctional facility and the JC's group and organization. And you guys do great things. And we need more organizations like that across the country, whether it's JC's or Rotary or Lions, whatever it might be. We need more organizations doing those things.
We
do. Very good.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you very much. 8:15 our time, 56 degrees on a Wednesday, August 29, 2018. Community Matters brought to you by the First National Bank of Beloit and Mitchell County Hospital Health Systems.